Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Pitch. I hope you've all enjoyed your summer. We're just getting started back up here at BTP, and I am ecstatic to be joined here with long-time friend, long-time guest, and now superstar in his own right, the magnificent David Amayal. David, how you doing, buddy?
It's a real pleasure to be on with you, Phil. It's like coming back home, being on Beyond the Pitch. So thanks so much for having me on, brother.
It's always good. It's always welcome, like welcoming home an old son that's one up. But you've done so well with your own podcast, Dave, before we get into our chat. Kelsey Oland has been magnificent. And one of the things that I really like about your podcast is that it's not one-dimensional. You cover movies, you cover politics, you cover all different types of topics that are relevant to human beings, because we're all much more than just the love of a sport. We're human beings, multi-dimensional. Yep. And you do an exceptional job of covering other topics. How are you finding it so far? Are you still loving it as much as you always did?
I do, man. And, you know, it's funny that you say I try to do the best podcast that I can do. And the best podcast that I can do is if I talk about the things that I know and I'm passionate about. So that's really kind of what's been guiding me. And yeah, it's still a blast. I love interviewing people. You know, that's one thing that I've learned from doing Beyond the Pitch for so many years with you guys, is really the art of interviewing people. That part I find really challenging and interesting.
You know, doing this podcast, one of the things, the obvious perks that come with it, which are great in the football world, but talking to fascinating people is really one of the greatest rewards of doing this, and getting to hear stories that you otherwise wouldn't hear, and being flattered with people giving you their time. And I look at all the podcasts that I find interesting, and none of them are one-dimensional. None of them are just this. It's always a multitude of topics. What's the feedback like from your listeners with regards to, do you receive criticism, or based on, I like this movie and not this movie, or how's the feedback from your listeners? Curious.
I think it's overall good. You know, I think we try to follow a format so people know when the stuff they might not be interested is coming, so they can skip it. I try to keep the non-football stuff towards the end. I get more feedback the very few times we ventured into politics. I've gotten some feedback on that. But look, you know, sometimes I've had some guests on that if I don't ask them, I wouldn't be doing my job. And, you know, I try to give fair warning. I try to tell people, hey, you know, if you're not interested, you can end the podcast now. But so I try to be strategic about it. But again, I try to do the podcast that I'd want to hear. Mm-hmm. And that's really my guiding. And that's a way to be honest with my audience and be like, this is what I have. This is what I'd like to hear if I was on the other end. And overall, the feedback has been excellent.
Yeah, because it does take balls to delve into topics that are usually quite emotional. So I give you credit for that. What's on the agenda this year, Dave, for Kelsey Oland podcast? Do you see him? You anything new coming up? Or what's the plan for? Because you've got quite
You know what?
Go ahead, yep.
You know, what I enjoy is getting, we have a lot of fans, especially for the Premier League, that come listen to Premier News, and a lot of them then get into a little bit more Serie A, because we like to cover the great storylines. You followed Calcio for a while. You know how great the storylines are in Italy. So I really enjoy getting feedback from people that are like, hey, you know, I came for the transfer news, I ended up Serie A, and so we're wrapping up the summer transfer window, and we'll be doing more and more Serie A. So that should be exciting. We're also going to be doing a little bit more of fantasy football. We have a partnership with a site that does that. So we'll also be competing with our listeners with that.
That's great. Let me ask you about your social media usage, because I only get a fraction of this in comparison to you. But obviously, you're much more complex than who's going where. And how frustrating is it to look at your mentions and 95% of it is, hey, who's going here? Who's going there? You know, you tweet a picture of your family and somebody below is like, I tweeted a picture of going into surgery and somebody below is like, is someone going here? It's relentless. Is that difficult for you?
Well, you know, look, you know, what I try to always tell myself is the passion that fans have for their teams is what allows me to do, you know, my own podcast. It allows me to, you know, do your I've great friendships in this business. You know, I've risen enough that I, you know, made some my career out of it. So there are some other rewards as well. And to me, it all goes back to if fans weren't passionate, I wouldn't have anything of that. I totally get the fact that for a lot of people, I'm mainly someone that gives them transfer news. So to me, as long as people are respectful, you know, I'll try to answer as much as I can. Although sometimes the questions get a little bit repetitive.
It's amazing that to me where you're answering the same question over and over again. And I actually feel sorry for those who aren't asking me questions. It's like their timeline is just going to be dominated with mundane answers to questions from me. And that would probably cause me to eventually unfollow someone. But you know, I was always curious because obviously, you know, you're quite right in that the perception of Serie A has changed quite a bit over the years. I mean, my old co-host, Anto, of course, was a massive Serie A fan, and his statement always was, this isn't your dad's Serie A. We've seen huge changes with Serie A over the years, and I must confess, I almost forget at times that Ronaldo went to Juventus. Such was the professionalism with which Juventus conducted that transfer. We didn't see any of the typical social media dragging this out for clicks, dragging this out for advertisers, dragging this out, teasers, and then boom, you know, Juventus just ruthlessly went in. This is it. This is our signing. Let's move on. Did you think in any way prior to this summer that Cristiano Ronaldo would be a Juventus player?
I have to be very honest, even the morning that they announced it, I had a lot of reservations that it would happen. I mean, you, Phil, you know better than me. There's been multiple summers where talk that Ronaldo's going to leave. He's going to go back to Manchester United, or he's going to PSG, and then he ends up signing a new contract with Real Madrid. I really thought this was what's going to happen again this year. I found it great that Juve now is getting all this free publicity out of it. You know, like you, I live in the United States. I saw Juve being discussed with during a World Cup match about Ronaldo. That wouldn't have happened any other way. So I was like, well, you know, there's a lot of benefits just for this. But the cost, too, of the deal, if you know anything about Juve's finances, his wages is really enormous. So I was really surprised. I got to give them a lot of credit. Like you said, they acted very quickly. I thought they were very classy. They've always had a great relationship with Real Madrid. So they told Mendes, this is what we'll pay if you can get Real Madrid to agree to let him leave. This is our price. We'll let you handle all this. He got 12 million in commissions for doing that. But I thought Juve played that really. And look, you know, they've been very disciplined, very cautious financially for multiple years, and they were able to land Ronaldo. Just 12 years ago, Juve was relegated in the second division. They really struggled for a long time, but they rebuilt step by step, year by year. They made some deals that at the time didn't look so great. They were cautious with loans, options to buy, but it all paid off with Ronaldo. So I give him a lot of credit. It's very different than when, say, you know, a rich owner comes out of nowhere, drops a ton of money in a club, and they buy it. That's not the way Juve did it. They built gradually to this. So respect to them, but I didn't think they were going to pull it off even the morning of.
Well, I mean, look, what we see at Juventus, some people think it's a case of the squirrel going down a tree and just magically finding the acorn. But what we're actually seeing here is the result of long-term planning, long-term vision, long-term strategy to get exactly where they are right now. They got relegated. They gutted the football club. They rebuilt. They didn't try to build it in a day. This isn't an accident. Where did the vision start, David Juventus? Was it when they brought Nedved in and said, okay, we have a vision of where we want to go? Because it seems to me everything that happens at Juventus is very strategic. There's very little knee-jerk. There's very little an agent calling the club and saying, this player's available, oh, we'll take him. It seems like they know exactly what they want.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Nedved. He arrived at Juve right after they sold Zidane to Real Madrid. At the time, it was a record-breaking transfer. Juve used that money to get Nedved, Buffon, Thuram. They started a new cycle with that. You know, they came close to the Champions League, and they didn't win it, but they were one of the best teams in Europe for a while. So they've always taken the approach that, you know, it's okay to sell players if you then reinvest the money. Well, sure. The last time they won the Champions League was after they sold Roberto Baggio. And, you know, to get Ronaldo now, it certainly didn't hurt that for years they sold Pogba for a huge like that. They built their war chest over the years, increased their revenues. And they also became an attractive enough spot for Ronaldo. It's not just right. about the money. Like
that's an important point.
Ronaldo, yeah. That's equally important. So Juve showed him that they were very ambitious on the European stage. I think the fact that after he scored that amazing bicycle kick against Juve in Turin, he received that huge ovation. He said that was a moment where he started to say, hey, maybe I can play for this club. Mm-hmm. So again, I find that love or hate Juve, you have to respect about all the gradual steps you get to this point.
Yeah, and see, I think this is where Juventus differ from, say, Milan. You know, Milan, seven-time European Cup winner, an absolutely ginormous, ginormous football club, like the colossal football club. But I get the feeling that everything that's going on at Milan is an attempt to circumvent the process and try to immediately compete by a collection of signings, and let's hope these guys gel and will compete. And rather than the patient process, is that what's going on at Milan?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we saw last summer for sure. And look, in the past, the last 5 years, he just wasn't investing in the team, and then he certainly didn't sell to the right people in the short term. And so last summer is kind of what you described. They just dumped a lot of players, and they really didn't build a good enough team to really improve. But now they seem to be in much better hands. They have much more competent directors. The Elliott Fund, you know, is going to back them financially. They want to make sure they have a better asset on their hands than what they inherited. So I think at least now, hopefully, Milan will be on the right track.
Oh, another big move this summer, of course, was Ancelotti, who went to Naples.
Yeah.
Depends on who you ask. Depends on your opinion on Ancelotti. Not everybody's convinced he is in that top bracket manager. Some people say he's a plutocrat's plaything. He perhaps underachieved at Juventus when he was there, maybe underachieved with that great Milan team. Is he an exceptional appointment for Napoli, and what do you see him doing there, Dave?
So I put something to what you say about the criticism about him. I think, you know, one of the things has been his ability to manage multiple personalities on the club. I think tactically he's, you know, above average, but not someone you'd, you know, really consider exceptional. I definitely think, you know, for Napoli, very bold move for them.
Dave, I'm going to reconnect with you, mate, because your phone keeps coming out, cutting out, and I really want to get this
done. Sorry about that. Let me try without the headset. Does this sound better to you?
Yeah, it's clean. Sorry, just pick it up right where we asked that question.
Tell me from where?
Exactly where, just as if I've just finished the Ancelotti question. One, two, three.
Sounds good.
Go.
I think there's a lot to what you say about the criticism of Ancelotti. There's probably been some instances where he underachieved with his teams. At Bayern Munich, it certainly didn't go as planned. I think, though, for Napoli, this is definitely a statement signing, though, for them. All you have to do is look at Ancelotti's CV prior to joining Napoli. This is a big deal for them. Now, I'm not that convinced to be able to do better than Sarri did. I mean, Napoli is coming off 91-point season. Any other year, they probably would have won the title. This is a record for points in a season without winning the title. I think Ancelotti will help him in Europe. Last season, Napoli pretty much punted on that. I think he'll have a more focus on that. I think Ancelotti will have more of a big club mentality. I think Sarri, as great as he was tactically, never had the exposure of having to compete on multiple fronts, mm-hmm. manage a squad for turnover. Ancelotti definitely has a lot of experience there. So I think he's going to, a lot of the areas that people complained about Sarri, he'll be able to make up for it, but I'm not convinced he'll be able to get as much out of the squad overall.
What do you expect from Sarri at Chelsea?
Well, this is really a fascinating hire. You know, I really enjoyed watching Sarri
at Napoli. I thought in a lot of ways that was the perfect club for him. He was born in the city, really knew the pulse of the city. Some of the statements that he made to people who aren't familiar with Naples might seem outrageous, but really worked there. Obviously, his style of play was incredibly fun to watch, but I'm really curious to see how he's going to adapt to the Premier League. I don't think, you know, it helps that Chelsea brought him in, you know, later in the summer preparation. Right. It helps that he has Jorginho, who was kind of the metronome in his midfield at Napoli. But when I look at Chelsea, this is a radical difference going from Conte, who became really more pragmatic than he ever was in Italy. I mean, he really started to look like Mourinho all over again. So that's going to be a big adjustment there. So I'm very curious. I'm rooting for Sarri. I definitely thought he was one of the most refreshing and entertaining figures in Italian football. I can see why Chelsea fans are very excited. It'll definitely be fun to watch. But there is some potential here for things going very wrong as well.
His ex-club, and of course Juventus also, it appears, I don't know if Juventus still have an interest here, but Matteo Darmian looks like someone who very well could go back to Italy. Napoli have shown an interest. De Laurentiis has said they offered a loan option to buy. I think there was some interest from Juventus when there was inquiries about Alessandro. What do you see happening with Darmian? And does Alessandro stay at Juventus?
That's a great question. Well, I think Darmian, I'm with you. I'd be very surprised if he's not back in Serie A. Now, Manchester United was asking for a big return about the transfer fee they paid for him when they acquired him from Torino. I don't think his performances, you know, have increased his value. He's a little bit older. Juve tried to bring him in. This was before they signed Cancelo, looking at him more potentially at a right back, but they weren't willing to pay Manchester United's price. But now that the window's about to close, I could see him going at Napoli. That makes a lot of sense to me. They want to keep a non-EU slot open to sign a Mexican goalkeeper, Ochoa, so Darmian makes sense. I could see that deal happening, and I think he could do quite well there. You know, someone rotating on both sides on the wings.
If he does,
as far as Alessandro, I think there's still a good chance he'll be sold, because I look at Juve this summer, like how much they spent even before Ronaldo. They've been a cautious club. They haven't extended his contract, so if they want to cash in on him, the time would be now. I think, you know, if a big offer came for around 50 million, which, you know, still a lot, but there's just not that many good left backs on the market, they would definitely look at it. I know Man United's been linked to them. I hear PSG could be an option for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if Alessandro is sold, just because I look at how much Juve spent this summer and he's being in a big profit. So I could see that.
What about anything else, Dave? Any other major moves you see on the horizon? There's lots of people being linked. Cardi being linked with Real Madrid. Of course, Milinkovic-Savic is per guy. And you're probably tired of saying, isn't he? And else? Any other big moves happening?
I definitely think there'll be some more. I think there are, you know, the teams that I'd really look at are Real Madrid. You know, they could try to replace Ronaldo internally. They do have a lot of talent, but I don't see how they end the summer with Ronaldo leaving as really the only big storyline. I could see them going after Hazard, who, you know, would be quite the coup. Chelsea not being in the Champions League. And with Ronaldo gone, I mean, this looks like really, in a lot of ways, an ideal time for him to go. Let's see if that happens. I could also see them signing a big number nine, maybe Lewandowski, who keeps trying to leave from Bayern Munich. Cavani, too, at PSG could be an option. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get two out of three of those players. So I would definitely look at Real Madrid doing something. I think another interesting situation is going to be Higuain with Juve. I think you could see him at Chelsea. Him and Sarri were really great together when they were at Napoli. I could see that Milan's also interested in Higuain. There's Bonucci potentially returning to Juve, which is almost as shocking of him leaving in the first place. So those are the teams to watch. I would look at Chelsea, Juve, because they could be involved in some outgoing moves. And Real Madrid. And finally, with Milinkovic-Savic, I think, you know, had he had a great World Cup, it definitely would have been a lot more momentum for him to be sold. There could still be Lazio if an offer comes in for $100 million, could still be interested. It could be Real Madrid, could be PSG, could be Manchester City. I think Manchester City is going to look at Pjanic too on Juve, but that would take a huge bid there. So it should be exciting. I'm kind of looking forward to the window closing a little bit early. I think it's great that once the game starts, the window is closed, but there'll be more urgency in the last few weeks. So I expect at least two or three big stories.
I finally found something I disagree with you on. I actually don't. I would prefer there was no window at all. I would just like the players can leave. I didn't think there was anything wrong with the original system. Players want to leave in February, March, let them go. That would be my view. But lastly, before you go, Dave, I want to ask you about Kovacic. Lots of clubs being linked with Mateo Kovacic. Rumors that Real Madrid would sell him. He potentially wants to leave, from what I'm told. Hear anything on him?
Yeah, he's definitely an interesting player because, look, he wants to play. I think he's tired of being Modric's backup. He does that on Croatia's national team, does that at the club team as well. I think he's tired with that. A very talented player. The thing is, Real Madrid, you know, knows that they, you know, it's hard to get someone as good as he is young to eventually replace what they have. So, you know, I could see Bayern Munich. I could see Manchester City, maybe Chelsea jumping back in. So an interesting player. I'd be interested to see if a club would be willing to do something like Juve did with Morata a couple of years ago, signing him, giving Real Madrid a buyback clause, because I think Real Madrid would like to control him in the future. So let's see what happens, but I'm with you. He definitely would like an opportunity to play more, that's for sure.
So I got to sneak one quick one. Anthony Martial, does he go to Italy? Does he go to Chelsea? Mm. What do you think happens?
You probably know better than me. I think Italy is a long shot. I think it would have made sense for him at Juve. I'm not sure if any other club could realistically afford him now. Right. You know, I could see him in the Premier League, as you have told me, you know, in the past, Manchester City has done some moves like that within the league. So I think it's a shame. I think he's a great talent, but I also could see why for him at this point he's looking for a clean slate.
Yeah, he's a great talent, but maturity is an issue with them. And I just think you'd get the right manager, get the right environment. You have an exceptional talent, but it's all up to him from this point. Dave, this is the first of many throughout the season.
You're totally right about that. Like, the talents also have to own their careers. I'm totally with you.
Yeah, see, and this is what fans have to understand, is development is more down to the player than anything else. Cristiano Ronaldo would have become the best player in the world anywhere, because he wanted it to be that way.
For sure.
It's not always down to a coach why a player doesn't develop. Dave, this is going to be the first of many, like I said, on BTP. I'm honored. I'm looking forward to doing Calcio Land as well, coming on your show.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll be doing the return leg on my podcast. Hopefully I got at least one away goal. Always a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks so much for having me, brother.
Always a pleasure, Dave. Thanks, mate. Take care.
Thanks so much, man, Phil. I really appreciate it. Love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. Take care, man. Bye.